The following is a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the remainder of our service, we want to take some time to open God's Word together and to study it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Yesterday I did a half Ironman triathlon in Muncie, Indiana. And it's the second year I've done that event. I drove down on Friday night with a friend from high school, and we competed in that yesterday. It's a race I've been training for since January and trying to get ready to swim 1.2 miles and ride 56 miles and run a half marathon afterwards. I'm going home to take a nap today. If I fall asleep in the pulpit, someone just wake me up and we'll get through this. I love the sport of triathlons because it requires skill, not just in one discipline, but in three: swimming, biking, and running. I'm just an average triathlete. I'm no special triathlete, but there were professionals at this event yesterday, and I enjoy watching these men and women compete at this incredibly high level of performance. I like watching the professional triathletes at the Ironman in Hawaii and watching these men and women compete at that kind of level. And they're really amazing to watch because their level of fitness is incredible. To see their bodies and all systems functioning at maximum output is really staggering to watch. To see the muscles and to know that every system in that body is contributing to this athlete's performance. Every cell, every muscle, every tissue fiber, every thought, every capacity in their body, every organ in their body is contributing to the overall performance of this athlete to get across the finish line in the shortest amount of time possible. It's really incredible the amount of potential that God has placed within the human body to be able to perform at that kind of level. Most of us are just lucky to get out of bed every morning, right? And to see these athletes, these professional athletes competing at this high of a level is truly staggering. To know that every component in their body, every individual part is striving together in great harmony to contribute to the movement and the performance of the body. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking that that's exactly how God intended the church to function. See, the body is made up of individual parts, and when every individual part does its part, it contributes to the overall growth and movement and performance of that body. When it's functioning at maximum output and every part is doing its part, then the body can function the way God intended it to function. I think that's why God used an analogy of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to communicate to us the importance of spiritual gifts. Look down in chapter 12, verse 12. It says, even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, he mentions the body. Verse 14, he mentions the body. And he's using there the body, the human body, as an analogy for the church body. And so just as the human body is made up of individual components and parts that contribute to the overall performance of the human body, so too is the church, made up of individual parts. And when those parts function together, when they all work together, when each individual component within the church is working at maximum output, then the church can be the church. The opposite is also true. When the church fails, when there are individual parts who are not doing their part and not contributing to the overall growth and performance of the church can't be what God intended it to be. And so every single believer has a part to play in the body of Christ. Let me review where we've been. Last week we started a 5-week series on spiritual gifts. Let me just review what we said last week. Look at verse 1. Of chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And we said that word unaware is where we get our word agnostic. And so he's saying to the Corinthians who were confused about these spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be agnostic about these spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be unbelieving. I don't want you to be ignorant of these gifts. They were confused about them. Some were not using their gifts in the Corinthian church, and some of them were misusing and abusing these gifts. And there was chaos that was reigning in the church in Corinth as they came together, and they were clamoring to all use their gifts at the same time. So they needed some correction. They needed some understanding. They needed to be not agnostic anymore when it comes to these gifts. Likewise, we said we have to understand the importance of these gifts. We have to embrace and truly understand why these are so important. And we said that for a few reasons. First, we said that there's a lot of confusion about these gifts today. Confusion about which ones are in operation and how they're to function within the church. We said that for us as a church, as Maranatha Bible Church, we must comprehend clearly the importance of these gifts so we can be the church that God wants us to be. And more importantly, we want to motivate you to serve and use your gifts. Every one of you here this morning has a gift. And the question we want to pose throughout this series is, are you using it? Are you using your gift to function within the body of Christ here at Maranatha? We said that there are different varieties of gifts. Look down in chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. He says there's a variety of gifts, varieties of ministries, and varieties of effects. So there's multiple kinds of gifts, which we're going to look at today. There's multiple places of ministry. There's multiple avenues by which you can use your gifts. And if you're a teacher, you can teach kids or youth or adults or small group or big or small settings. There's multiple avenues for your ministries. And there's multiple effects as well as God works in and through you. We said that no one believer possesses all the gifts. Only Jesus Christ possessed all the gifts perfectly. He was the perfect preacher and teacher. He was the perfect giver. He was the perfect man with mercy. He was the perfect exhorter. Only Christ possessed all the gifts. No one believer has all the gifts. And so the church, when we come together, the church is to be a picture of the complete gifts of Jesus Christ. And so that's the purpose of the church. For us to be a true picture of Christ, each of us must be using the gifts. And God's intent is that when we come together as a body of believers, some are strong in this area and some are strong in this area and we're weak in this area and weak in this area. But when we come together, we get a composite picture of the fullness of Christ when it comes to the gifts. These are given to edify the body. Look at verse 7. We said that to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so we said that gifts are for the common good. They're for the profit of the church body. They're not for us individually. We don't take our spiritual gift and go in the closet and begin to exercise our spiritual gift. No, we exercise them here together in the context and the life of this body of believers. We said last week that each of us are basically like puzzle pieces. Every one of you here is like a puzzle piece, and you have protrusions, you have little parts that stick out of you, and that represents your gift and your strength, and you have little areas that are indentations, and those are your weaknesses. And so your strengths can be put together with someone else's weaknesses to really strengthen them and to help them, but you have some weaknesses as well, and you need someone else to come alongside of you and kind of help you grow in those areas of weaknesses. And so when you put all these puzzle pieces together, you get a full picture, right? You get a full picture of what the puzzle's supposed to look like. And yet when someone's not using their gift, something's missing. We said last week, when you put a puzzle piece together, you do one of those 1,000-piece puzzles, and you get to the end and you're missing one piece, and you look at this almost completed puzzle, where does your eye go? It goes to the missing piece. You notice something's missing. The picture's not complete. And that's what happens when someone's not using their gifts. The picture's not complete. The body of Christ is missing someone who should be contributing to that picture. We did say last week, and I want to clarify a little bit on this, we did say that natural talents and spiritual gifts are not the same thing. I think there was some confusion on this last week, so let me try and clarify this. We said that there is a difference between natural talents and abilities and spiritual gifts. And I want to show you that they can overlap, and God can use your natural talents and abilities in the form of spiritual gifts, but they're different. Natural talents and abilities are things that you're simply good at. And you can be a believer and be good at something. You can be an unbeliever and be good at something. You can be in the church and be good at something. You can be out of the church and be good at something. The issue when it comes to natural talents and abilities is they're just things you happen to be good at, whether through practice or through natural ability. So some of you are good at singing or cooking or painting or drawing or woodworking. Those are natural abilities. You don't have to be a believer to be good at some of those things. And so it gets a little confusing, though, when we look at those people and we say, oh, they're naturally gifted. And we use the word gift to refer to their natural ability. So we get a little confused of where these overlap. And so those are technically not gifts. They're not spiritual gifts. You don't have to be saved to be a good singer or a good musician or a good cook. Having said that, though, there is a sense in which these natural abilities can be avenues for spiritual gifts. So let me give you an example. The person who's good musically, naturally good at that, might use their music and their ability there as the spiritual gift of service. So the people who are leading us today in music, they're good naturally at music, but they're serving us and they're helping us come to the throne of God and to worship God. That's service. That's the spiritual gift. And so the natural ability is a platform that leads to the spiritual gift of service. A person who loves people and loves to help people may be talented in that area, but may not necessarily have the spiritual gift in that area. But when they begin to exhort a fellow believer or show mercy to a fellow believer, that becomes the spiritual gift. And so we have to kind of sort out the difference between talents and spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at what those gifts are this morning. What are the spiritual gifts? What are the categories of spiritual gifts that we need to be aware of as we kind of think through how we're each gifted? We have a sample list here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Let me read the verses, and then we'll talk about them. Look at verse 8. It says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. I want to show you two truths today. I want to show you two points from this passage. First, the category of gifts, and secondly, the allocation of these gifts. So let's look first at this list of gifts, the categories of gifts that are mentioned here. This is not an exhaustive list. I don't believe this is Paul giving us a full list of all the gifts that are possible. I think this is a sample list. This is a list that contains 9 gifts. If you look down in verse 28, look down there. There's 8 more gifts that are listed there, and some of them overlap with the first list. So there's 8 listed there. We're going to go over to Romans 12 in a few moments, and we're going to see 7 gifts listed there. And so nowhere in Scripture do we have a complete list of spiritual gifts. But when you begin to study them and put them together, you begin to see a composite list that starts to develop from that. We're going to look briefly at each of these gifts so you have an idea of what they entail. Let me first kind of give you a categories of gifts that you can kind of think through. I think when you study these list of gifts, you can begin to assign them to 3 main categories. In fact, Beth, if you could go to the next slide, let me just show you. Here are the 3 categories. If you take the 16 or 18 or 19, there's not a consensus on how many gifts there are, but if you take the gifts, you can essentially assign them to 3 separate categories, and there they are listed for you. There are speaking gifts, there are serving gifts, and there are sign gifts. All the gifts can be put into those 3 categories. And so if you can kind of think about those 3 categories, I think it will help you think about how you think about your own gifts and which ones are in operation today as well. So there are speaking gifts. The speaking gifts are prophecy and teaching and evangelism, exhortation, and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And we're going to talk briefly about each one of those. There are also service gifts. There are helps or ministry, leadership, faith, giving, and showing of mercy. And then there are sign gifts. And the sign gifts are the distinguishing of spirits, miracles, healings, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All right, so these are the 3 categories. If you can kind of wrap your mind around these 3 categories, I think it will help you kind of understand where the gifts fit. We're going to talk today primarily about the first two categories, the speaking gifts and the sign gift. The speaking gifts and the service gifts. There is another category known as the sign gifts, and we believe that this third category of gifts was functional for a time in the early church, but since that time has passed off the scene. We'll briefly mention these as we go through these, but we believe that the sign gifts were for a foundational time in the early church. How many times do you lay a foundation? Just once, right? You lay a foundation one time. And so when the foundation was laid with these gifts, there was no more need for those gifts, and so they have passed off the scene. And so the tongues and the miracles and the healings and the interpretation of tongues, those were given to unique individuals for a unique time, for a unique purpose. And so they were given to these men, mostly apostles and those that closely associated with apostles, listen, to authenticate the message of the apostles. And so you have certain men with the ability to perform some of these sign gifts in the early church. And you read the book of Acts and you see these things taking place and you say, well, is that supposed to take place today? Well, the book of Acts is about the early church and what's taking place in the early church. And so you don't have a completed scripture at that point. And you have a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And so as that transition is taking place, you have certain men gifted with the ability to speak in tongues and to perform miracles and to conduct healings. Once the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant took place, once the scripture was complete, once the foundation of the early church was laid, there was no more need for these gifts. And so we'll briefly mention them as we go along. We're not going to get into them a lot today, but I wanted to give you at least a little background there. We believe that today there are two primary categories of gifts in operation, the speaking gifts and the service gifts. Hold your finger here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. There are a number of places where Scripture mentions the gifts. The earliest book mentioned that mentions gifts is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we come to 1 Peter chapter 4, one of the later books written, presumably after the foundation has been laid and those gifts have passed off the scene, we see in 1 Peter chapter 4 two categories of gifts, speaking gifts and service gifts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. And whoever serves, let him do so as the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's two categories of gifts listed there. Speaking gifts, serving gifts. And so that's where we're going to focus our attention here in chapter 12. And we're going to look at which gifts belong in which category. And we're going to briefly define what those gifts are. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at these speaking gifts. And we're going to look at these service gifts. And as we go through this, I want you to kind of evaluate your own self. Yourself, as you look at these gifts and you see these gifts listed and explained, I want you to evaluate yourself. And I want you to take an inventory. And I want you to kind of think about what gifts you might possess. Let's look at these. First, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. This is a speaking gift. The word of wisdom is a speaking gift. This is the ability to understand God's truth in a way that you can apply it to your life or other people's lives. So the word of wisdom is that a person gifted in this area can take the simple truth of God's word. They can understand what it says, and then they can apply it to their life or bring some practical implications to another's life. Knowledge is the ability to know those truths. Wisdom is the ability to apply those truths. This could be the pastor who is really good at bringing implications and applications out in the sermon. This could be you in a discipleship setting where you're able to really bring the Word of God to bear in someone's life and draw principles from the Word to help them apply to their own life. And so the person with the gift of the Word of Wisdom is skilled at drawing out applications and principles for godly living. That's the gift of the word of wisdom. I think it had a revelatory effect in the early church, but I think there's an aspect of it that's still in operation today, where you have people who are so good at just bringing the word of God to bear in a very practical and specific way. You know you have this gift if you are able to do that, that you're able to hear someone in their situation, you're able to say, you know, the Word of God says this, and let's go here. And here's some principles that you need to be thinking about as you wrestle through this situation. Maybe you know some people like that. Maybe you're gifted in that area. That's the Word of wisdom. It's a speaking gift. Secondly, the Word of knowledge. Look at verse 8. For to one is given the Word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the Word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. The word of knowledge here is the ability to understand what the word says. Now, all of us should understand what the word says. We're all believers. We have the Holy Spirit, and so we all should understand what it says. But there are some uniquely gifted people who are able to just read the scriptures and say, this is what it says. This is what it means. It's a unique ability to understand the Bible and have insight into the word of God. So whereas wisdom is the application of the truth, the word of knowledge is the person who understands it and is able to clearly articulate it. This is more the academic side of studying the word. It's the person who's gifted with a keen mind to understand and explain the meaning of the Bible. And so these are the theologians and the commentary writers and the authors who have a unique ability to understand the meaning of the scripture and then to express this. Basically, these are the really smart people. That's why I'm excluded from this list. I don't have this gift. And I have to go to books and I have to go to commentaries to understand what key passages of Scripture mean. And so the ability to study the Bible and draw out its understanding, that's the gift of knowledge or the word of knowledge. And you know you have that gift if you're able to do that. You study the word and you're able to say very clearly, this is what it says. You don't need a lot of help from other sources. You're just able to clearly articulate and explain what it says. That's the word of knowledge. It's a speaking gift. Look at the third one he lists. He lists faith. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This is faith. This is a serving gift. All right? So this gift that we believe to be a serving gift, and here's why. There are some people who are uniquely gifted to trust the Lord. Don't you love those people? You see some people going through some trials and some hardships and unique just hardships in their life, and you say, how are you doing? And they say, you know what? I'm doing great. God is so good. I am so confident of God's grace and His goodness to me. My faith is not wavering at all. That's the gift of faith. We're not talking here about saving faith. All of us have the gift of saving faith. And it's not a gift. It's just the relationship with Christ that comes from the gospel. All of us have faith to believe in Christ. And that's different than this gift. This is the gift of those who are able to say, I will trust the Lord. Nothing shakes my faith. It's the gift of faith. Many of us, when we go through those trials and those hardships of life, our faith kind of ebbs and flows and rises and falls, and we struggle with the Lord at times. And yet, the person with the gift of faith, they're able to say, God's good, God's faithful, and I will trust Him and choose to believe Him for this circumstance. The reason I say it's a serving gift is because we need people like that. We need people like that in the church, who demonstrate unwavering confidence and faith in Christ in the midst of those trials of life. It's a serving gift. It serves the church when we see people going through trials like that with that kind of faith. There's a fourth one listed in verse 9. It's the gift of healing. The gift of healing. We said that this belongs to those temporary sign gifts, that third category of gifts that we believe were in operation for a unique time, for a unique purpose, but have now passed off the scene. And so this was the ability to speak in another. I'm sorry, this is the wrong one. I'm going on sign gifts, aren't I? It's healing. Let's go to the healing and we'll come back to the sign gifts. Verse 9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing. And so this gift of healing was for a unique time for certain individuals who were able to bring complete and immediate physical healing to those who were sick. Christ had this ability. The apostles had this ability. And we see many times in Scripture Christ bringing healing to those who were sick. We see the apostles bringing healing to the lame man and the woman who was bleeding and the paralytic. So this was a gift for a unique time to bring physical healing. And all this was done to authenticate the message of the gospel. That's why it was a temporary gift. So if you had an apostle who's preaching the gospel and they're saying, I'm not sure that's true. Then you have this apostle who then goes, raises someone from the dead or heals a paralytic. And then they can say, now do you believe it to be true? It was an authenticating gift. And so this was a temporary gift for a unique time. We believe that this gift passed off the scene. And we see examples in Scripture where certain people were sick and Paul could not heal them. So Epaphroditus in Philippians 2 was sick, but Paul didn't heal him. Timothy was sick in 1 Timothy chapter 5, but Paul didn't heal him. Trophimus, another friend of Paul's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, was sick and Paul didn't heal him. So it even appears that Paul, who had this a gift initially, lost the gift throughout his apostleship and the gift passed off the scene. It's a temporary gift. It belongs in the third category. Okay, number 5, verse 10, miracles. See what it says in verse 10? And to another, the effecting of miracles. This was someone who in that age could perform such divine acts that invaded the natural law. And it was things like changing water into wine and raising dead people and walking on the water and feeding thousands of people with a loaf of bread. This was the gift of miracles. Christ and the apostles had this gift. This belongs to the sign gifts, though. It was for that unique time, for a unique people, to accomplish a unique purpose of authenticating the gift or the preaching of the Word of God. We believe this gift has passed off the scene today and is not in operation. But we do believe that God can do miracles, and God does do miracles, and God does accomplish His purposes by kind of stirring the pot and invading natural law with supernatural effort. So miracles still happen today, but people don't have the gift as they did in the early New Testament. There's another gift listed in verse 10. It's the gift of prophecy. Look what verse 10 says. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy. This is a speaking gift. And so prophecy is a speaking gift by which God uses to encourage the church as people speak forth His truth. All right, there's two components to this. If you want to just write these down, this will help you understand prophecy. Prophecy involves both foretelling and forthtelling. Those are two components of prophecy. When someone was a prophet, they did those two things. They foretold the future events and they spoke forth the word of God. And so prophecy involves both foretelling, speaking on behalf of God about future events, and forthtelling, speaking forth His truth. Of those two, we believe the second one to be in operation today, the forthtelling, the preaching of God's word. There's not prophecy taking place today, and people are not predicting the future because of direct revelation from God. But there are people who are preaching the word of God, and they're speaking forth His truth, and they're proclaiming the gospel. That's prophecy. It's a speaking gift, and it's still in operation today. There's also in the list here the distinguishing of spirits. And we believe this was also a temporary sign gift, just a gift that was used for a short time for a unique group of individuals before the scripture was complete. Now, you have to remember, before the Bible was complete, there were people who were speaking forth false things. And so certain people needed to be gifted with a gift of discernment to be able to distinguish between what was false and what is true. So they had the gift of distinguishing between spirits, to be able to sort out what was true and what was false before the scriptures were completed. There's an element in which we all need to be discerning today, but this was a unique group of people with a gift of being able to distinguish between what was true and what was false. But we put it in the temporary sign category in our list. There's another one listed in verse 10 called the tongues, or speaking in tongues. Obviously something we're familiar with, we've read about, we hear about today. We would also place this in the temporary sign gift category because we think this was for a unique group of people, for a unique time. that when God came and he gave revelation, they were speaking forth in tongues. And we see that in the book of Acts, where they heard the gospel in their own language, where the gospel is being preached in different languages or different tongues. And you need to know that this was a real language. Okay, so if it were to happen today, it would need to be a real language like German or Russian or something like that, a real language. These were known languages. These were not ecstatic speech or some private prayer languages. These were real languages that were being spoken at that time. This was a temporary sign gift, a temporary gift to authenticate the message of the apostles and those who were receiving the truth from God. There's another one listed here in verse 10. It's the interpretation of tongues. Obviously, this goes with the tongues, and if there was a tongue being spoken, someone would need to interpret it because it was a different language. So in order to have a proper understanding of what was being spoken through that language, you need an interpreter there. And so there are people gifted with the gift of interpretation to make sense of what was being spoken. So that was a temporary sign gift as well. So you can see from this partial list that some of them belong in the category of speaking, and some belong in the category of serving, and some of them belong in the category of temporary sign gift. Go down to verse 28. Let's look at a couple more here, just so you start to get a kind of full sense of what the gifts are. Verse 28, there's another partial list by Paul. He says in verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles. Apostles. And so that was a unique office for a unique time for a unique group of men who were with Christ and witnessed the resurrection. And they were with him, and they spoke forth his truth and received direct revelation from God. Those were the apostles. That was a unique gift. And so we would put this in the temporary category. There are no apostles today because there are none who have walked with Christ and seen his resurrection, which was a requirement for the apostles. And so this gift has passed off the scene as well. There's another one listed in verse 28, teachers. Verse 28 says God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, which we've already talked about, third teachers, those who are able to communicate truth, those who are able to proclaim the message of God's word, those who are able to give instruction and communicate the meaning of God's word. And so they take the word of God and they communicate it, whether in a classroom setting or in a one-on-one setting or a small group or in the pulpit, however that can be, they communicate the word of God. And so it's the giving of instruction and the communication of biblical truth. You know you have the gift of teaching if you really enjoy that. If you enjoy digging into God's word and you enjoy communicating that truth to others, you have the gift of teaching. Verse 28 goes on to say not only teachers but miracles. We've already talked about those. Then the gifts of healings, and we've talked about those. Then verse 28 says the gifts of helps. It's a wonderful gift. The person with the gift of helps loves to labor behind the scenes. The person with the gift of helps loves to minister and use their gifts to meet specific needs behind the scenes. They're not an upfront person. They're a service-oriented person. So it's a serving gift. And they're the people who want to just kind of get their hands dirty and do the work of the ministry and start meeting practical needs and serving within the church. And if there's chairs that need to be set up, they're there. And if there's a meal that needs to be brought, they're there. They're just the behind-the-scenes service people who love to meet practical needs. And can I say we need those desperately? We need this gift desperately in the church. Not everyone can stand up and preach, or not everyone can be a leader in the church. We need multiple people with the gifts of helps and ministry, and that's the gift of help. So you know you have this gift. If you're a behind-the-scenes kind of person, and if there's a need that needs to be met, you're there. If there's someone that's in trouble, you're there. And if there's a practical need of the church building, you're there. So this is the gift of helps or ministry. Look at verse 28. It goes on to talk about the gift of administration. Administration, which is another word for leadership. And so these are the leaders within the church. These are those who are able to give direction and oversight and harness the potential of a church and able to organize a group of people into a common vision for a common purpose. They're the overseers, the leaders, the ones giving direction in the church. This is administration, or also known as leadership. And so their ability is to give direction and oversight to a body of believers. Verse 28 ends with tongues. We've already talked about those. So you're starting to see some more gifts that begin to fill out this list for us. Very quickly, go over to Romans chapter 12. And I wanted to show you just a couple more. Romans chapter 12. Just look at a few more in this list. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. It says, since we have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one is to exercise them accordingly. And he begins to list for us what these gifts are. Prophecy, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. We've already talked about what prophecy is. The next one says, if service in his serving. That's the same as helps. That's the same as ministry. It's where we get our word deacon. They're the ones who just want to meet the practical needs within the church. And so this belongs in the service category. Verse 20, or the number 20, if we're listing all of them here, one who teaches in his teaching. We've already talked about that. The next one, if he exhorts in his exhortation. This is a speaking gift. Okay, so exhortation is a speaking gift whereby you come alongside someone who needs encouragement or needs correction. And you have the ability, the spiritual giftedness, to both exhort, and that means correction, or it means encouragement. This is the one who comes alongside someone who's really hurting, tells them exactly what they need to hear, comforts them if that's necessary. If there's some behavior that's contrary to God's word, they bring the word of God to bear on that person's life right there, and they're able to correct and encourage them to pursue a different path. This is the gift of exhortation. And you know you have the gift if you're able to come alongside someone and comfort them in their trouble, and you're able to come alongside them and correct them in their conduct. It's a speaking gift. Giving is the next one Paul lists in this category. He says, he who gives with liberality. Giving here is the gift of the person who says, I just want to give my stuff away. I don't want to hang on to my stuff. God's blessed me with possessions. God's blessed me with finances. And I just want to be used of the Lord to give that away and to meet other people's needs. And so this is the person, maybe they're rich, maybe they're not rich, but the issue is they just want to give away. They want to use their possessions and their money and their resources for the glory of God. And so they do it with great joy and generosity, and they want to minister to others. This is a serving gift. Look to the next one. The next one is leadership. It's also a serving gift. We looked at this with administration. This is the person who occupies positions of spiritual authority and gives direction in the church. Next one is mercy. He says, mercy, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so this is the person who is so kind, and not only are they have a sense of compassion, they want to meet the needs of that person. And so in their mercy, they want to show how to minister to them, and they want to be an encouragement, and they come alongside them to sacrifice for them and to minister to them. You know, you have this gift if you love to help people in pain and distress and hard times, and you just want to come alongside them and relieve their pain. So these are the categories. These are the gifts. I know that was a shotgun, really fast look at each one of those. I want you to see that there are sign gifts, and there are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts. Sign gifts have passed off the scene. There are speaking gifts and serving gifts still in operation today. And those are the gifts that we look at to say, what could my giftedness be? What's yours? As you look at those gifts listed under the speaking gifts and under the serving gifts, what are they? What are your gifts as you look at those lists? You all have some combination of those gifts. You have some combination, probably one at least, maybe two or three or four or five. You have them in combination where God has gifted you and put them together in your life for you to supply the needs in the church. So which ones do you have? If you want to know how to figure that out, you got to come back in the next few weeks, because we're going to look at how you discover and understand how God has gifted you. There's one other thing I want to address with you this morning. It's the allocation of those gifts. And I want to just quickly talk about this. It's in verse 11. So we've seen the category of the gifts. I want you to see, secondly, the allocation of these gifts. How do you receive these gifts? Is it just kind of willy-nilly? I mean, do you draw straws? How do you get these gifts? And we see the answer to that question in verse 11. It says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills." I want you to notice, first of all, what he says here. Each individually one has a gift. So each one has a gift. So every one of you here this morning has gifts. You can't claim I don't have a gift. You can't say I lost my gift. You have a gift because the Spirit is determined to give each one of you a gift. No one's left out. He doesn't skip over by mistake anyone. Every single person has a gift or a mixture of gifts. That's why every believer needs to be exercising their gifts in the church. We've been talking about this a little bit last week. That's why the church needs every believer using their gifts. If each one has a gift and someone then is not operating their gift in the church, then that means something's missing and the body is suffering because of it. Have you ever had a situation where your foot's fallen asleep? You've been sitting too long in one position and you stand up and it's just numb and it's heavy and you can't feel it, and you go to walk, and you're kind of limping along because it just doesn't even feel like it's there. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? I remember the first time that happened to me as a kid, I thought my arm was falling off. It's just a horrible feeling. Well, that's exactly what it's like when someone doesn't use their gifts. The body kind of limps along because you're not using your gifts. You're not contributing to the overall growth and development of the body of Christ. Each one individually has received a gift. Say, how do you get it? How do you receive this gift? In verse 11, look what it says. It says, "The Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills." I love that. How do you get your gift? The Holy Spirit, in His sovereign plan, has ordained exactly what gifts He wants you to have. It's by His will, it's by His design that He has determined what gifts you have. So you don't roll the dice, you don't pick straws, you don't pick a number out of a hat and figure out what gifts you get. No, the Holy Spirit, when you came to Christ, sovereignly ordained what gifts you were to have. So He picks them for you. And He puts them together in just the right combination, and just the right package, and just the right arrangement for you to know and for you to contribute to the body of Christ. That's why they're grace gifts. They're gifts given to you by God's grace for the edification of the church. And that's why they're so wonderful. So Paul's point here is, don't worry about getting a gift. You have one. And it's been given to you by the will and the plan and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, who has tailored them just for your personality, tailored them just according to your desires to meet the needs of the church. They're not mass-produced. There's no carbon copies. Each one's unique. And I kind of like to think about how the Holy Spirit does this. You know, if I'm not an artist, but if you know an artist who's got that palette of colors, they have on that palette a bunch of primary colors. And that artist can take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and make this perfectly matched color that exactly according to the design of the artist. And that artist can then wipe off the brush and come back and make another combination of colors to use on the painting. That's what the artist does. He's got the prerogative to mix and match exactly how he wants those gifts to function, or to use those colors to function. That's the same way it is with the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the master artist who has taken a little combination here and a little combination here and a little combination there and given you a gift set that you can use in the body of Christ. So there's maybe 16 or 18 gifts, but there's millions of combinations. And here represented today, there's 225 different combinations of gifts. And God has specifically put them together in you according to your personality to meet the needs of this church and the church as a whole. So some of you got a little mercy and a little exhortation and a lot of teaching. Some of you have got a little bit of giving and a little bit of preaching and a lot of exhortation. And all those gifts are given to you by the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of the church. That's what makes these gifts so wonderful. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to look at these. We're going to continue to see just how God has put them together. We're going to see the importance of all the gifts. And we're going to see how to discover these gifts for the maximum output of the church. So I want you to come back. I want to give you some very practical steps for how you can discern your giftedness and then how those might be used here at Maranatha Bible Church for the glory of Christ and the edification of the body. So what are your gifts? Having gone through that list very quickly, what are your gifts? And are you using them to the edification and common good of the church? Father, we thank you that we can look at these gifts. Thank you that you've given us a witness to what these gifts are. And Lord, you've given us the ability to know what they are. We pray, Father, that as we continue to work through this series, that the result will be a body of believers who is zealously committed to the exercise of their spiritual gifts to the glory of Christ. Lord, we don't want to sit on these gifts. We don't want to be unfaithful with them. We want to be faithful to the cause of Christ and faithful to the church and faithful to the body of believers. And so we pray, Father, as we continue through this series, that you will open our eyes and that you give us the ability to discern what those gifts are, that we can be a body of believers who is at maximum output for the sake of the kingdom. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.